as I continue my teaching, exhortation, preaching, whatever you call it, of the book of Daniel. But before that, let's pick a text. Can we all stand up? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the first three verses. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction coming upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Please be seated. The Reverend, and please give me your ear. Give me your ear. It's important that you catch these things that we say. From questions some of you ask us, you know, you just know that some of you don't really understand or hear what we preach here. Please, it is advisable, if you are part of a ministry, this is what the wise do. Don't just be religious. Don't be religious. Be part of that place. You are here, you know, somebody just heard me mentioning the name William Branham. Church, listen, we are now in an age where information is at our fingertips. Anything you want to know is at our fingertips. Go to the internet, on your phone, there are your smartphones. Just type it. If you want to know anything, anything, you want to know anybody at all about any name you have had anywhere in the newspaper or anywhere, type it there. You don't know me. You want to know me, type Moses Alu in the internet. You will see more than the 30 million times it is written there. And you ask. Now you come here, we speak, we mention things like, we mention names like William Branham. Now you should be curious. Who is this William Branham? I'm going to the net. And it will surprise you that you will even know more than you are told here from the pulpit. The same thing, I expect that every true member of a ministry like this, when you miss a service, I know good students, if they miss a particular lecture, the next thing is to chase a classmate that was there and collect his notes and copy. Is that what we do, lazy students? Is that not what we do, lazy students? Is that not what we do, all of us, lazy students? That's what we do now. Every day you are copying notes. You are copying notes from your classmate. Every day you are copying notes from your classmate. Eh? Then when you pass, you fail, then you're going to get jealous. Anyway, what I expect you to do is that anytime you miss a sermon, our sermons are on tapes. Send for the tape and listen so that you can flow when we want to continue. It's advisable. We've been talking about this. It is the same post that Apostle Paul posted. That concerning the times and seasons, the times and seasons there is talking about God's divine agenda. Concerning the soon coming of the Lord, the rounding up of God's agenda on earth, he told the church in Thessalonians, he said, you don't have any need that I write to you again, because they were grounded in it through his teachings. And then he only reminded them that you know perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. That is, he will come when people will not be expecting it. And then people that will not be expecting it will be religious Christians, who all they know is to just go to church, sing, clap hands, anointing, healing, deliverance, and then pay your tithes and offerings, and then think that that is where Christianity ends. They will soon discover one day that while they are preparing to go to church, they will go to church and they will not see some people in the church. And they were in that same church, and yet he came and took them by surprise. coming as a thief in the night is coming by surprise when people are not expecting. Because if you were expecting a thief to come, then you will have kept vigilance. You will have been awake. You will have been watchful so that the thief will not come and steal your things away. And that is how the coming of the Lord will be. And it's important because if we want to know the divine agenda is in His Word. No matter what grace you enjoy, the highest grace we have after the grace of salvation or the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the grace of the knowledge of God's agenda. You don't panic because you are knowledgeable. You are not troubled because you are knowledgeable. Because everything that is happening, you bring it to the Word of God and know what is the Word saying concerning it. And that's why in Proverbs chapter 4, let's read it, verse 18, 19, 20 up to 22. This is the way the book of Proverbs, the wise man put it. We'll read it up to verse 22. He just put it this way. He said, but the path, the way that we walk, the way, our pathway, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked, who don't care, that only religious people, is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. And his sayings are in the Bible. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 18 again. It says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. There is a light. The closer, if you walk in this light of God's word, the closer we get to the soon coming of the Lord, to the sure coming of the Lord, the brighter your understanding of salvation must be. In a relationship, a young man that is set to marry a girl, the girl, the bride, when the wedding date is approaching, hallelujah, that's why there must be a period of courtship before the consummation of the final wedding. It is a period where you get to know one another better and better. The closer the date comes, the more you get to know each other. Because you've stayed long enough to have known each other very well. The coming of the Lord is sure, soon. Everything is pointing to it. The bride of Jesus Christ will also be, having a better and better understanding of this divine agenda. And that is why in Revelation chapter 22, in that verse where he says, and the Spirit and the bride say, what did they say? He said, come. The time comes where what the Spirit is saying, it will be what the bride is saying, because they are united together in the spirit of revelation. So when we take these teachings, it is our own way of establishing the bride. So that we are not troubled for anything, we have a right bearing. As we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, praise God, we are not supposed to be ignorant. We are not supposed to be ignorant. We are to walk by revelation. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And if we are justified, then the faith there is revelation. we will live by revelation. That is the only difference between the bride and the concubine churches. It's a revelation we have. I keep saying it, and I will continue to hammer it until one day, you know, when the Bible says, upon the rock, upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I keep saying it, and I will continue to say it, and that is what I use to judge you, and God will judge all of us as we look at one another. The knowledge, your knowledge of who Jesus Christ is that rock that when you stand upon, Christ builds his church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. The revelation of who Jesus Christ is. The spiritual marriage that is going on, is what we see a shadow of in the physical marriage that goes on. Before you come and tell a young man, a young girl, the two of you, say, I will live with you for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Before you exchange that vow to live together for better, for worse, be sure you have known who he is. You so know him that whatever the condition, I will stay with this man. But because you didn't know him, when it is better, and he, I love you, I love Jesus, he's my friend, then they come and sweep you off. One day, everything, I don't even know self. Since I gave my life to Christ, I don't even understand my life again. I don't even understand again self. I don't even know whether this bride, where they go, I will stay for Christ's embassy. Oh. It is because the decision was not for better, for worse. Job said, will I receive good from God and not receive bad also? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Before you can make that and worship God, when all one day, everything you have swept away. Your children, all gone. All your business, everything gone. Now sickness even come upon you again until everybody is running away from you. And you are still saying, the Lord liveth, blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a relationship. There is a knowledge. There is a knowledge that man has about God. Upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. If you can imagine pastors, you saw it in the newspaper. I'm not the one that is in the newspaper. What they were doing on St. Valentine. Somewhere in River State, to Port Harcourt. To tell you, when I tell you that the Church of Jesus Christ has been invaded by the powers of darkness, people don't know it. They look at us as critics. There is nobody that understands what the cross is that we do that nonsense in the church. It's because you don't understand anything about the cross. Imagine that man of Calvary suffered that painful death to produce the nonsense they are doing. But one thing I'm happy is that it will not last forever. One of these days, that nonsense will come to an end. People will bring comedians to the sanctuary of the Lord to make jest of salvation. What is the difference between you and those soldiers that we are mocking him at the cross? You stand at the altar and you make caricature. And the people that allow that have big, big, big titles. Reverend, doctor, doctor, professor, prophet. General, most senior, his grace, his eminence. Praise God. May God will help us. In the midst of that nonsense, one time in Israel, God told Elijah, there are 7,000 in that same abominable estate of Israel. There were 7,000 that did not bow. Is there any of them in this hall today? Is there any of them in this hall? Put down your hands first. Put down your hand first. In this age, hypocrisy has taken over the church. No more fear of God. I say hypocrisy has taken over the church. I am not talking about the denominationals. I'm talking about the bride church, enter message churches. Hypocrites are in holiness churches. In fact, there is no hypocrite in the denomination. It doesn't matter churches. Where you see hypocrisy is in holiness believing churches. Come to Pride, they fool here. Go to Choosing, they fool there. Go to Revival, Holiness Revival, they fool there. Go to Deeper Life, they fool. Because that is the only place a hypocrite can strive. Over there they declare who they are. I'm a prostitute and I'm serving the Lord. You say, no, I'm a believer. Meanwhile, you're a prostitute. Upon this rock, I build my church. And so when you see people who have a relationship with God, their attitude to fellow believers is different. Their attitude to the things of God is different. Where is the end of the matter? A true Christian, any problem you have, and they bring you to the Bible. The Bible is our fire extinguisher. The Bible is our sin deterrent. The Bible is our Omo. It's our detergent. The Bible is our strength. The Bible is our bathing water. The Bible is our mirror. The Bible is our tonic. The Bible is the source of our strength. You stay away from Bible, where else will you live your life? What will check you if the word of God cannot check you? If you don't respect me as your pastor, when I'm calling you down, at least I have brought something higher than me now, God. Upon this rock, is because you don't know who Jesus is. Upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And that's why I advise every, I counsel every one of us, don't bother to get close to the pastor. Don't bother to get close to any minister, any prophet. Get close to your Bible. Get close to your Bible. It will help you. It will help you because it said, thy word have I hid in my heart. So that what will happen? Is it Psalm 119 verse 9? Can we read it? 119 verse 9. What does it say? Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By going to the mountain? By doing dry fasting? Wherewith will a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. No mountain, no church, nowhere you will go, no prayer can make you live a righteous life. It is only the word in you. You can never rise in spiritual potency above the amount of word that is in you. The difference between some years back, our armed forces and Boko Haram was the number of arms, the type of arms they had. They showed one video where Nigerian soldiers were running from Boko Haram. Why? Because the bullets they have finished. And those people were still loaded. So it is in Christianity. Devil say, it is written. You to release your own. It is written. He's not to speak in tongue, fire, Holy Ghost fire. He will speak in tongue more than you. But when you say, it is written. Hallelujah. I am the temple of God. When a young girl is teasing you, if you don't have this scripture in you, she has defeated you. But if you have that scripture in you, as she naked herself, you are about to unbuckle your belt, the word will come on. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But if it is not there, you will finish. Then the same Satan will remind you. Fornicators will go to... It's true. It's written in the Bible. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Because you don't know the word. I am saying this to bring your attention back to the Bible. For that is the end time message. The end time message is come back to the Bible. If all of us are ruled by this Bible, the work of the fivefold ministry will be less. If all of us are ruled by this Bible, husband and wife, you will live in peace. If the husband had colo, the wife will quote scripture to bring it back to sense. If the wife scatter, her head scatter, there's one verse you will just quote. She will go on her knees and repent. But if you are going to use your mama, your culture, your this, in my place, where I come from, then that matter will be settled by the elders in the village square. Because you are living according to your culture. Come back to the Bible. That is thus saith the Lord to this age. We have left the scripture. That is why we struggle the way we struggle. We've left the Bible. That is why we're so far from God. We're not looking for an easy way out. Brethren, the rapture will soon strike. We've been looking at this divine agenda that lets us know the times and the season. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're looking at Daniel chapter 9, and we're continuing. And I told you the last time, from the last message, that just before the rapture, I told you that 8 things will take place. There may be more, but this is the one I have known. In case there's anyone you know better, add them to your own. The important thing is to know the time and the season and this agenda. And all this is not from my head. All this is in the Bible. And last Sunday, I told you, because there will be a fall away before the rapture, there will be a restoration ministry. And that is what I tried to prove the last Sunday I was here, taking this sermon. And then I prove how I brought this end time message. And what we are now, we are a product of the first thing that happens before the rapture. We had the message, we had the shout, and it's a message of restoration. Come out of error. Come out of the denominational bondage. Come out of Babylon. It is homegoing time. You respond, you have only come to position yourself for the next things to happen. So, we are product of it. The shout has gone forth. The next thing, or rather, they may not come in this order, but they are almost in that order that I am given now. Let me put it this way. One thing that will happen before the rapture will take place is the war in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. They are not too long. Let's read it. Some people have not read it before. There is a war there in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. And I will read it and I will try to read it as fast as I can. Now, it is a war that will take place from verse 1, Ezekiel chapter 38. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, thus said the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws. And I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, Even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Goma and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee, be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days, thou shalt be visited. In the latter years, take note, when will it happen? In the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. So, in these latter times, when will this gathering be? It will be when Israel has been restored to her land. And this is happening right before our eyes, because Israel has now been restored since 1948. It will happen after they have gathered. Thou shalt ascend and come like storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus said the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall this come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thy hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, hast thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus said the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy places out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses and great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus said the Lord God, and that he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servant the prophets of Israel, we prophesied in those days many years, that I will bring thee against them. And it shall come to pass at the same time, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, said the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call, note from verse 21 to verse 23, note it. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, said the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 39. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus said the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, Jesus. Very few will be left. I will cause thee to come up from the north parts. I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. and they will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, said the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, said the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they, note this verse 9. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel, when he has finished dealing with them, shall go forth, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire. How many years? By the time they gather against Israel in that battle, all these names, Tubal, Meshach, and all, Libya, Egypt, all these, many of those nations changed their names to the present names of the Arab nations today. All is mentioned in there is the Arab nation. But there is a king of the north, and he calls him Gog. He's of the land of Meshach. And you try, use Google and find out, you will discover that it's referring to Russia. Praise God. And he will gather these Arab nations. When Israel is finally settled as a nation, and they are settled now, and then they will come together to come and finish Israel. And as you will read, you will discover that God will now cause them, the same God of Jehoshaphat is still alive. They will begin to fight each other. They will fight each other. Israel will not fight in this battle. Oh, glory be to God. By the time he finished with them, the weapons that they used, they gathered to come against Israel, the destruction, when Israel will come out and gather those weapons, it will take 7 years before they will finish gathering and destroying those weapons. That gives you a picture of how massive those weapons are. Because to start with, some of them will be landmines. And landmines are covered. I think recently somewhere, the Second World War bomb was found somewhere. I was listening to it in the international news. The weapons, some of them will be buried on the ground because, you know, there will be a shaking. So for 7 good years, they will still be discovering. As we read on, the picture gets clearer and clearer. Verse 10. So that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, said the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. And it shall stop the noises of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamon Gog. Verse 12. And 7 months, take note now, 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. 7 years to destroy the weapons. But the dead bodies of those soldiers, of those armies that will come, to bury them will take 7 months. It says that the passengers, the sight of the passengers that pass by, their noise will be stopped by what they will see. That is, you are passing and you see dead bodies. When you are discussing with this, what is this? The dead bodies. Israel will be burying to cleanse the land, because you cannot, because of epidemic and things, you cannot leave dead bodies. So they will be burying them. It will take 7 months for the dead bodies to be buried. And take note, this war has not taken place yet in the history of Israel. Verse 13. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, said the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment. You can imagine, for 7 years, there will be a lot of job to be done. Passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bow, then shall he set up a sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Armon Gog. That is, and I believe these passers-by are tourists. The biggest industry in Israel today is tourism. He said, as they will be passing by, they will see a dead body, they will now put a sign, because there are people that are employed especially for 7 months that will be doing the burial. So when you see one there, just put one sign so that those who are looking for dead bodies, they will come and see it, carry it and bury it. That is a very horrible sight to imagine. Verse 17. Verse 16 says, and also the name of the city shall be Hamona. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every fettered fowl and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come. Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. That is telling you that vultures that time will have free food to eat. All the fowls of the air, because dead body full everywhere, they go eat in nyafu nyafu. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, said the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and give them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and he hid my face from them. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that, they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them anymore there. Neither will I hid my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. When you read the scripture like this, you will fear God the more. And that's why I say, when God, if you observe, these are the same nations. Hallelujah. These European nations that suffered Israel after AD 70. Russia. If anybody doubts whether it is Russia, He will come directly or he will come indirectly, for he's the one arming the rest of the Arab nations. He's their backbone in everything, in intelligence, in weaponry. Russia is the backbone of the Arab nations. And the whole of the Arab nations, they are against that small, tiny state called Israel. Iran has declared that Israel should not exist. They wipe them off. And that is what Netanyahu was saying. That we will not go to the United Nations, we shall defend ourselves. If we see Iran manufacturing any weapon of mass destruction, we know we are the target. We shall not wait before we go there and scatter it. Hallelujah. They know. And the end of it all is God telling you, you are talking anyhow to Israel, my own people, the only inheritance he has. He has a covenant with them. It's because they have fallen out of order. And any time a true child of God is being dealt with by God for the sin he has committed, carnal brother and sister, be careful how you deal with that person. If you make things worse for him, you have become part of the punishment for him. Abi, when he has finished and decided to give them mercy because his wrath is not forever. And when his wrath will come to an end, he will not even wait for them to cry and say, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. He doesn't. He will say, it is okay. And then bring them back. Praise the Lord. You know how they came back? You know how they came back? Have you heard of the hunters and the fishers? I think Jeremiah prophesied it also. He said, I will send, when it's time for the resurrection, he said, he will send the fishers and you send the hunters. Hallelujah. The fishers are the Zionist movement that suddenly arise and say, let's do everything and go back to our land. And began secretly, I was going to the rich ones among the Jews, and they were preaching to them underground. And they were saying that it's, trying to convince them. Some agreed, they will give them money, they will come to these Palestinians and buy land. Please, now give us this land. They were buying some with their money. And small, small, they were coming. Those are the fishers. But a lot of them were already comfortable in Europe. They were already comfortable. They had married there, their businesses, their houses and things like that. In Babylon, that's not where God has for you. And so the only way for all of them to come back, God himself said, he will raise hunters. I say it again, the fishers. A fisherman is gentle with his fish, isn't it? Most of them, you catch them alive. All fishermen, you catch your fish alive now. But a hunter uncle, that was Hitler. That was the Second World War. That's when they were killing them. Just because you are a Jew, that's all. God called them his hunters. Hitler was a servant of God. And dealt with them, killed, how many of them? 6 million Jews. That's the documented one. And it was then, everybody started to say, we get land, we get our home, we get our promised land. And now, the Zionist movement now came out openly. And then began to persuade the United Nations, persuade other people, and then they all went back to their land to fulfill these scriptures in the Bible. And now as they sat there, God is still angry with what they did to them, although he used the hunters. Something must happen to deal with them. That is where we have the Gog and the Magog war. They will gather and come, and he will tell them that it was because they fell out with me. That's why they were out of their land. You were dealing with them anyhow. I have brought them back. You touch them, you are touching the apple of God's eyes. And so it is with any sinner here. You are suffering because you fell out from God. For whom God loves, he chastens. And once you repent and you have come back to him again, let those nonsense, let those demons that were tormenting you, let those neighbors that were tormenting you, let all the people that were frustrating you, try it again. They will be touching God's apple of his eyes. It is a pattern. So, that is one of the things that will happen before the coming of the Lord. That battle of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. It will happen and we shall see it. You see why? Of the times and seasons. You need not that I write unto you again, because we already know it. If somebody lives here today, you hear this message that I'm preaching at any time, and somebody is saying, the rapture can take place tomorrow, the rapture can take place tomorrow, you will tell him, shut up. Keep quiet, it's not tomorrow. Why? Because Ezekiel 38:39 never happened. But the only thing I caution you is that the rapture will come in two ways. Through death. Christ can come for you tomorrow. So even at that way they talk, I agree. For nobody knows the time. If I say here, nobody will die untimely death. Who determines the time? It's God. And if God says your time has come, no prayer, no statement of Pastor Moses can stop it. We only say it to reinforce God's time for you, that only God's time will prevail for you. Praise the Lord. So therefore, we live as if Christ can come at any time for us by way of death. But by the divine agenda of God coming, before he comes, these are some of the things that will take place. Ezekiel 38 verse 39, war will take place. Hallelujah.